Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker?
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%. Vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So, we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.
Take a look. It's March 14th, 2025. I am at Joel Pearl or thejoelpearl.com on Blue Sky, and it's time to get in the weeds. Happy Pi Day. Jeremy Lambert is here. He's surviving. He's thriving. He's going to eat a pizza pie-ding later on. How you doing, Jeremy?
I'm alive. Made it to a Friday. That's the best I could say.
Well, you've made it through the week. Now you get to be rewarded with a SmackDown in the afternoon. And a TNA Plus show in the evening.
I ain't watching that TNA show.
Gress and I were talking last night during the post show, and we said we're not doing a post show for Sacrifice because realistically, the only thing that's going to happen in terms of like moments are Ryan Nemeth's going to turn on Nick Nemeth, maybe Elijah turns on Joe Hendry to set up a match. But other than that, the tag titles are going to change. The knockouts tag titles are going to change hands. And that's about it. Other than that, Ali and Santana is going to be fantastic. That's the only... there's your post show. Yay. So we decided not to. And then we came to realize, oh, but SmackDown's on at 3. So the post show is going to be also at like, you know, a normal hour. So we could go unopposed and do this post show. Nah. We decided not to. We're just going to stick with what we got. Take a well-deserved Friday night off.
Yeah, you don't need to do a post show for this TNA Plus show.
When TNA Plus shows have like a banger card, we do it. We'll do it. But this one is just not there.
Burying this card.
Yeah, it's not a good card. What do you want me to tell you? Masha's going to beat Cora Jade. Tessa's going to beat Li Ying Li, and people are going to feel a certain way about it. Jeff Hardy's going to have a great match with Moose and climb up a ladder. Moose is going to retain. And then the steel cage match. Like, it's going to be a fun show, but nothing major is going to happen. I just told you all the major stuff. That's about it.
You don't think there's going to be any TNA or WWE NXT people outside of the people who are already, you know, already there?
Nope.
Okay.
I really don't, because the Hardys are indisposed and that's it. The pay-per-view, that's the other thing, is that they have Unbreakable on the 17th over WrestleMania weekend, and they've got the pay-per-view the following week. So there's enough time for WWE to get involved with the tapings afterwards. Oh, and Chavo's going to be there. That's the big news, is Chavo Guerrero is going to be on the show. Like, oh, okay, sure.
He's at the tapings, right? Is he going to be on the show tonight, or he just at the tapings?
They could have him do a pop-up appearance and do a thing, for all I know. He's been advertised for the tapings. I believe it's just the tapings, but they could always have him show up the night before.
Yeah, true.
That's fine. But listen, Sacrifice will be a fine show. I just don't think it's one that's going to need a post-show from us. Y'all will get all of our thoughts and feelings after the Thursday night post-show. How about that?
Cowardly.
Yeah, whatever. Can run from that crime. I'm tired on a Friday. Forget it.
Fair. Still cowardly.
That's fine. What's not cowardly is leaving a thumbs up on the video if you haven't already. What's stopping you? Get up in there. We got plenty to talk about today, but we don't. So let's do it with Pyro and the Ballyhoo. And you can also subscribe to the channel here at Fightful Overbooked. We're on our way to bigger and better numbers. So we want you to get in there. We got our Fightful Select free tier. Plug in the idea that y'all can sponsor the show. So if you want to do that, get in touch with Sean or Kate or Jeremy or whoever you need to sponsor this particular show, because we are on 5 days a week, 10 a.m. Eastern. There are opportunities to have your name, logo, visage. I don't care. I just want you to promote your stuff on our show. And of course, you can donate a super chat. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. And of course, it guides our conversation. Go ahead. You can take over the show. Try it. Send a super chat with what you want to talk about within reason. Within reason,
And we'll I don't need to be within reason. Send a super chat with whatever you talk about. No reason at all. You know what? I don't have the headlines up here.
Oh yeah, what happened? Somebody
turned off. I think I did when I turned them off for Spotlight. So I gotta turn them back on. Hold on, I gotta change mine because
the orgy's over.
Well, not really. So we watched The Temptation Island last night, Joel.
The orgy never stops. It's like MLW.
There we go. That's my new headline.
Are we not calling back to your show last night where someone in the chat told you about their orgy experience?
Yeah, Cyclops Better Than Wolverine did mention that he had an orgy. So The Temptation Island, everybody, it's on Netflix. They released all episodes. There's no waiting for this. I respect Netflix for doing that. I respect it because they tried to drag out the Love is Blind season, and the Love is Blind season sucked, and they fake drama on that show. Temptation Island's got some real drama, everybody. So there's this guy. His name's Breon. I think I got that right. I'm terrible with names. All he wants to do is have a bunch of threesomes. That's it. But he wants to settle down. He's a Christian-loving man as well. You know, he's a God-loving man. But he just wants threesomes. That's all he wants to do. So he has this threesome in the Temptation Island. Sorry to spoil all this for everybody. If you don't want Temptation Island spoilers, mute for a little while. This is way more important than professional wrestling. Are you kidding me? So he has this threesome in the bathroom. And the first thing he says after he gets done with this threesome is, "I respect my girlfriend." Dude, you just cheated on your girlfriend with two women. But his logic for respecting his girlfriend is, "I was very open and honest about how much I want a threesome. So I had a threesome. And now that is how I respect my girlfriend. Because I was honest about wanting it. So even though I did it, I respect my girlfriend." All these men suck. Every single one of them. Every time on this show, the men are god-awful. Like some of the worst men in the world. Just absolutely terrible people. And they've found a good crop of men for this show, honestly. So, amazing trash reality. If you want to see just the worst people in the world and you want to feel better about yourself or your relationship, watch this show. Xeno Hour, I don't care if it is a work. It's fucking fantastic. I do not care. I assume all these reality shows are a work. That's fine. It's still good television.
I'd argue that every single sexual encounter is a three-way. You, your partner, and Jesus up above. Just watching away in his cuck chair.
I hate you.
You called the man a God-loving man.
Well, he is. He's out here and he's giving this lady a massage. And she questions him. She's like, "How are you like a good Christian when you want to cheat on your girlfriend and have a threesome?" And he's like, "Well, we all walk different paths. And, you know, God made me in this way. So this is how I am still a good God-loving Christian, because, you know, this is how God made me. So I'm still a good man." And even the girl was like, "This man just talks himself into circles. He doesn't know what the hell he wants. Like, he's awful." But like, he gives the impression that he wants to be a good person. I thought he was going to be like a good person. I was like, you know what? I got hope for him. I got a little bit of hope for him. No, that went out the window. There's other two guys. They look the same. I can't tell them apart. Grant and Tyler, I believe, are their names. They both suck. They were cheating like day two on this show, and yeah, they're terrible people. But everybody on the show is pretty terrible. The women are okay. They, you know, they're on this show, so like, you know, you've either been dragged here or you've dragged your partner here, so something's going wrong. But the men are just awful. These relationships are only like a year long too. Like, they're going to this island. But it's like, we're having so many issues in our relationship. Okay, you've been dating for a year. Just break up. It's all right. Like, you ain't married. You don't. One guy has a kid, but it's not with the girl that he's with. It's with his ex-partner. So, you know, you don't got kids. You're not married. You can break up. No one's gonna fault you for breaking up instead of going on this show. I appreciate that you go on this show. It's great entertainment for me. But it's okay if you just want to break up.
Whatever happened to MILF Manor?
The MILF Manor is out of season right now. I don't know when it's coming back, if it's coming back. The second season was a little bit of a disappointment. They gotta change the format.
Wasn't that to bring on the dads?
Yeah, they brought on the dads, the Dilf Manor on there, but they gotta change the format around a little bit. See, Temptation Island, they fuck with you. Like, the whole premise of the show is god awful, right? You know what I'm saying? Fair.
Yes, it's an awful premise. I don't watch this.
Yeah, it's an awful premise, but like, it's a great premise. It's a great premise. Yeah, you don't want to get the bad season of MILF, the out of season of MILF.
Yeah,
it's an awful premise. But here's the thing: like, you know what you're getting into when you get the premise. Like, you know, it's gonna be just terrible. These people are literally going to basically a cheater island, and that's the whole thing. But the producers of the show are very smart because they fuck with the people on this. Like, they know how to create the drama. So they create like this, it's called the Temptation Light. And so if somebody is hooking up at the other villa, the light goes off.
Oh, it's a physical light.
Yeah. So leave a thumbs up on the video. So like, if the women are hooking up at the women's villa, the light goes off at the men's villa to show like, hey guys, the women are here hooking up.
Oh dude.
It's this big, like, I don't know if they edit it in post, but it's like this giant, it is like this giant, like, fly is like, it's amazing. So then everybody's like paranoid of like, is my partner cheating? Is my partner hooking up? And then they're like, well, fuck, now I think it is my partner. So now I'm going to go.
It's the insecurity alarm. And right as you're explaining it, he decided to freeze. That makes it even better.
Okay.
There you go.
Anyway. So now everybody's thinking like it creates paranoia, like the USO penitentiary. And they're like, oh, is my partner cheating? Shit, it must be my partner. Now I'm going to go cheat because I can't let them cheat and be the only one to cheat. So I'm going to go cheat. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah, Henry mentioned the Spain one. They got a lot of attention. I've not watched it because it's not subtitled. I'm hoping someone like puts it up on YouTube and like subtitles it or something. But yeah, if you've seen like the Spain one, it's the same show. It's just different flavors of crazy.
I love this. Have Booker T do commentary. Don't have him do commentary. I want him to be the alarm so that it goes off and it's just him whenever Vaquer does the hip thing. Is it just that. It's Booker T over and over again.
It's a god awful show. This is what I'm doing after I get done with this show today, is watching more Temptation Island.
I'm getting messages from the anonymous ITW general manager saying it's the worst. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, everyone watch that. You know, watch that instead of watching wrestling. It's a way better use of your time, honestly. You know, wrestling, who could possibly care?
Can you keep talking about it for 10 seconds while I go?
Thanks. So Henry says Spain showing the girl getting clapped live. That's how the show works, Henry. So Spain is not, I don't know when which country had the first season of Temptation Island, but it's been on for years now. It used to be on after Raw or NXT on USA, but it used to be on right after those shows. But that's legitimately how it works, is like they go to this place called the Bonfire and they show what their significant other is doing at the Bonfire. And yeah, anytime like someone hooks up, that's what they show to the significant. So I mentioned there was a threesome. We haven't gotten to the Bonfire on that, but another guy had shower sex with a girl and they showed that to the girl at the Bonfire. So the girl had to watch, you know, her boyfriend have shower sex with another girl at the Bonfire. It's the messiest show ever. And again, it's just to create this drama of like, here's what your partner's doing. Anyway, how do you feel about that? The host's name is Mark Wahlberg. It's not that Mark Wahlberg. I don't know, like, what his qualifications are. Like, I don't know if he, like, has a license, therapy license.
Doubtful.
Or if he went to college or studied any of this. Or if he just read a bunch of books. I have no idea. He sounds really smart and insightful, though.
Yeah, writers tend to do that for hosts.
Yeah, well, whatever, however it is, like, he always sounds very smart and like, enlightening. He rules. So he shows, like, these videos of, like, you know, these people, like, cheating on each other. Or one woman was like, yeah, my boyfriend has bitch tendencies. He's like, he's a little bitch, basically. And then, like, they show these clips, and then Mark's first question to these people was like, what'd you see? How'd that make you feel? It's like, well, Mark, I feel like shit. I just watched my boyfriend have sex with another woman. Well, Mark, it sucks to hear my girlfriend say that I have bitch tendencies. Rules. It's like, you are on the spiritual journey. You got to forgive yourself first. You got to look inward towards yourself and remind yourself who you are. Who are you without her? Who are you without him? You need to find that person. And then once you can forgive yourself, maybe you can start to forgive them and move forward. It's like, yeah, Mark. Yeah, you're right, Mark. It's like, he doesn't fucking know what he's saying, but it rules. Absolutely rules. Everyone watch the show. It's great.
I will not be watching the show, but I appreciate that you give the insight to it. What do you want me to do? I don't have enough hours of my day to... I watch enough doomsday content. I don't need to watch people begging for a cuck chair. Just to get through their lives. Can Bruno say it's pie day and the weeds like pie will never end except weekends. It ends on the weekends. That's true. We don't have a weekend show yet. We need to find our Denise Salcedo. We need to find someone who wants to host and a former wrestler to run our Saturday Sunday show. And then we need a fully Ray type of person to do an after dark. I don't know who that could be.
Nah.
I don't think I'd want anyone, honestly, on this channel to do that. Bully's just like, now he's just leaning into it because he knows he's getting that engagement bait. Doing the whole, like, this guy and this guy are great promos. They'll be even better when they come to WWE. And it's just like, all right, man, we know what this is. We need that person.
Yeah. I mean, we could do that, you know, like, we could do it. I have zero interest in doing that,
and nobody pays me enough to try. So we're not going to get into that. I'd rather be who I am doing what I am. And that's having a good show with people who aren't absolute weirdos when it comes to wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ryan Lambert's asking me my top five Cora Jade TNA matches. Well, what's funny about that is she has had one. I guess she's had two. But my favorite was the one she's going to have tonight against Masha Slamovich. Actually, I think that match will be good. She's going to lose, but it'll be good. Good for her. What's your favorite Cora Jade TNA match, Jeremy?
I didn't realize how tall she was.
Well, I think it's more like the other Knockouts are just short.
Maybe, but she, I mean, I guess that's, I think it could be true as well. But man, she was like towering over Tessa Blanchard. Like, I thought Tessa Blanchard was kind of tall. Like, I've seen Tessa Blanchard in person, and she's not short or anything, but Cora Jade looked like a friggin' monster next to her.
Well, she is. They call her the American Monster.
I popped when they won, and, like, she had her hand raised, and then she goes like this with her hand raised. That was so funny. I thought of you, Joel.
Don't ever think of me.
I feel so mad right now.
Tessa's labeled as 5'4", by the way.
Oh, maybe she's shorter than I thought. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, it's been a while since I saw her WrestleCade years ago before everything happened. So maybe I just misremembered because my memory sucks and I didn't remember how short she actually was. But Cora Jade just friggin' completely towered over her.
Yeah. Maybe just saying silly racist shit made her cower into herself until she became 5'4".
Jesus.
What? What do you want from my life? Cora's probably about 5'7", 5'6", whatever. Put her next to Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley is the tallest 6 foot tall, 5 foot eight woman you'll ever meet. So, you know, it would all make sense.
Yeah. We'll find out.
Cyclops is better than Wolverine. St. Joel hates Bully because he took his AEW hate gimmick. Buddy, if I got paid the money Bully gets paid to do the shit that he does, I'd consider doing it because Bully gets paid to do this stupid shit. This is the big difference here. I don't believe Bully is acting fully in good faith beyond the paycheck he makes to say this shit. I think he knows where his bread has been buttered and he decided to add a little extra butter, and he gets paid for that handsomely. There are other people who will take all of their hate, all of their feelings, all of everything, and they will blast it out for free. And I think that's a waste of time and money because wrestling's not real and neither are these takes. It's like, what's the point?
Wrestling's not real and neither are these takes. That's an amazing like tagline. I love it.
Remember it for later because I will not.
Yeah. Somebody will remember that. That should be the tagline for this show. Wrestling's not real and neither are these takes.
Done. That's the new logo. That's the new slogan, the new tagline for the show. Start telling everyone. Wrestling's not real and neither are the takes. Pay me $40,000 a year and I'll give you whatever takes you want that are within reason.
I mean, I don't know Bully Ray. I've never met Bully Ray. I say it all the time. I don't care about his opinion. Just don't. I don't care what he has to say about AEW. I pay no mind to what he has to say. You know, Bill Simmons made headlines of all the Jaguars are terrible because Tony Khan's focused on AEW, which is a hilarious comment because AEW fans think that like AEW sucks in the fall when it's Jaguar season. It's like, well, Tony's paying too much attention to the Jags, and that's why AEW is so bad right now. Meanwhile, Fulham's like having a good season, and like doesn't seem like that's affecting things either way over there. I just don't care about the takes of these people. To me, and I'm not trying to put myself lower, I'm actually putting everybody else lower. To me, these takes have the same opinion that I have. Like, just because Bully Ray is a former wrestler and has done it for however long he's done it, doesn't make his opinion on AEW any more valid than Joel's, in my opinion. Like, he's just a dude who's given his thoughts on the he doesn't know how the stuff works back there. He doesn't know what goes into it. It's his opinion. Whether he fully believes it or not, I have no idea. But it's just like his opinion, man.
If I had a line to a lot of people with influence in AEW's locker room, I asked about it, yeah, maybe I'd have different feelings, different emotions. I'd be a little more connected to it. I could tell you that much because I would understand better. I don't. So I just give my opinion about what I see coming from my own personal excitement for wrestling, or at least my interest in certain types of wrestling. That's all it is. And that's what most people are. If you've got an in and you know people and that influences your conversation, but still manages to keep it balanced, I respect those takes, but I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, the grifter accounts are right. No, they're not. They're doing exactly what they're doing. This is funny. This is how sometimes too in the bubble we are. I did the $40,000 a year joke as a WWE ID joke and people didn't get it because like maybe 3% of our audience knows that that's how much they get paid.
Hey, Joel is wrong with his takes. That is fair, Ryan.
Screw you, Ryan. Make nice and then you do this to me.
I mean, I think Joel's opinion on the frame rates is way more valid than Bully's opinion on, oh, can't wait for Bully or MJF and Hangman to go to AEW. Or Jesus, I'm fucking up a lot today. Can't wait for Hangman and MJF to go to WWE so they can be stars. Like, all right, dude. Well, they're going to be in AEW for a while, so just enjoy that instead of trying to throw in this the sad part about all this is like these are the same people that'll like preach and talk about tribalism And then they do this to further fan the flames of tribalism. It's like, oh, I don't care if it's AEW, WWE. I just want wrestling to succeed. Wrestling is such a great place. All these guys are friends anyway. Like, stop latching on to one company. And then they do this shit. It's like, it's very obvious to see. Like, you're not really fooling anybody with this. It's lame. It's lame. And we know, like, Bully's got a WWE job right now. Like, he's on WWE LFG. So it's very disingenuous where when he's talking about this stuff. Again, this is why I do not care for... I don't care about his opinion on AEW. I don't care about Jeff Jarrett's opinion on WWE. Jeff Jarrett works for AEW. I don't care what he thinks about WWE. I really wish, you know, there was more... I don't know if people have seen it on Twitter, because maybe it's just like my timeline, but someone put out a tweet of like, oh, Jeff Teague is such an amazing storyteller. Jeff Teague, former NBA player. He's played for like 15 different teams, won a championship with the Bucks. Everybody's like, oh, Jeff Teague is such an amazing storyteller. And then it's like, it's quote tweeted and it's got like a bunch of videos of Jeff Teague telling stories. I wish more wrestlers would just do that. I know it doesn't get any traction compared to these hot takes, but I wish wrestlers would just like tell the stories of their career, because they got so many to tell. Jeff Teague telling stories of like shoving LeBron during a playoff game and shoving Ricky Rubio and everything. One, he is a great storyteller, but he's been on so many teams. He's been in so many locker rooms. He's played against or with so many great players that like, yeah, Jeff Teague, like, listening to him tell stories is way better to me than Shaq being like, Chauncey Billups coaches the Pistons. No, he doesn't. Shaq calling the Pistons boring and saying they're below 500. Like, Shaq admitting he does not even watch the Detroit Pistons. Shaq's entertaining. I get it. But it does a disservice to the product of the actual NBA and the television product, like the inside the NBA. Jeff Teague telling stories absolutely rules. I wish we'd get more of that in wrestling, because these guys are good storytellers. You know, this is what I love about Cody interviews. Cody just tells the same story 100 different times, but he throws in a little nugget, little new nugget every single time. It's like, oh, you didn't mention that last time. Whenever Cody does a podcast when he retires, I hope he just tells stories and doesn't give his opinion on the actual wrestling.
Be the Wheatley Rhodes Hour.
I mean, that's fun. That's fun.
It'll make some money. There was a panda in the chat saying, I miss when AEW wrestlers used to do behind the scenes vlogs. I mean, Sammy, the Bucks, who else was doing vlogs? Those are the only two I can really remember that like did much with it.
Fuego. Yeah, Fuego. I feel like there was another one, but I'm forgetting. Private Party used to do vlogs.
Allie used to do a vlog.
Yeah.
And that was fun, because she would bring like Oreos to the arena and it would be different flavor Oreos to work with different wrestlers. Ethan Page, people are mentioning him.
Yeah.
Evil Uno, Uno used to do one. I mean, they said the Dark Order at one point.
Yeah. I feel like they did.
Well, you're not going to get from Ethan Page right now. Sammy is on and off TV. The Bucks are MIA. They're in Guantanamo Bay. They're locked in their own prison. Well, if Fuego is gone, and then Being the Dark Order is on the back burner. So there it is. Mariah's had a YouTube channel for years. She doesn't really post much anymore. Yeah, it's fine. I don't know why they stopped doing vlogs. I think because part of the reason why they were doing the vlogs is because they were in the same venue every week. So there wasn't much for setup, because it was pretty, it was pretty cut and dry. But now it's changed up. They're back on the road and the dynamics are different. They're working differently. Speedball has a vlog. He's been keeping up with it. I'm hoping that he keeps doing it when he gets settled in with AEW. I'm sure that'll be on. Thunder Rosa's everywhere. Someone's mentioning Thunder Rosa. Like, she is.
Yeah.
She literally does Busted Open. She does her vlog. She's got her Patreon. Like, she's very involved, and she's very like one-to-one with her fan base. I respect it. It's very good to have.
Yeah, Thunder Rosa has the like, I like, she has the taco thing as well, where she like interviews people. Thunder Rosa puts out some good content. It's not so much anymore like behind the scenes with what she does. So.
Can you hit a 6:30?
Can I hit a 6:30?
Yeah, apparently it's you and I versus Bully and Dave at WrestleMania.
I can barely get out of bed right now. So, I mean, maybe, you know, give me a little bit. But right now, yeah, I'm in no condition to hit a 6:30.
It'll be you and I against those two at the pool side where they're doing their show during Mania week. That's where we're going to do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Shucky Ducky's asking about your three-way. Just go back. This whole thing is between.
No. Do not put out. I did not have a threesome. I know what my headline reads. It's a reference to a show.
Have you considered using quotation marks?
No, my wife watches this show. She knows. She gets it. Like, no.
Once again, everyone has a three-way. It's between them, their partner, and the man upstairs sitting in his cock chair just watching it go. Matt Jackson and his wife do have a wrestling travel vlog thing going on now.
Yeah.
It's the travel stuff that I'm surprised more wrestlers don't like talk about. Some of them do, but like when 90% of your business is traveling and trying to find travel and all that stuff, I'm surprised more people don't do that. Talk about that. I like travel vloggers. Not the obnoxious like we're van lifers and then van life gets overrated. So it's like, we're cabin drifters. And then the cabin drifter goes, oh, we're back to van life. I don't need that. Or life update, we're having a baby. And you're like, that's great. I hope you don't bring your we had the baby and the baby's coming to van life with us. And you're like, just go retire. Please just let the baby have a regular life. The baby's 14 months old and you need to see how cute she is in front of this camera. Da, 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 da. Yeah, I'm calling out one specific vlogger right now, but the point is, stop it.
Who stop. Are you calling out?
Not gonna mention them on the air because they have a very large following base.
Can you put it in the private chat?
Yes. You probably will not have heard of
them. Yeah, I was about to say.
But we'll see. There you go. In the private chat. There are people who are going to figure it out. There are plenty of vloggers who do that, by the way. It's not just one specific.
I don't know who that person is.
Look at my baby. Anyway, it's not for me. It's just not for me. That's all.
Kick the baby.
Don't kick the baby. Ken Bruno is sending us stuff again. This one actually might get us in trouble, so I'm absolutely going to post it.
Oh, is it threesome related?
Yes and no. It's very like it's very topical but also very non sequitur. So it also has faces on it that hold on, let's get it up here so y'all can see it. Is it this one? Yes, there we go. Do to do. Shout out to Cam Bruno, always sending us the most ridiculous shit. This Bully Ray speaks out. Can't wait for the MILF man of MILFs to stop visiting Temptation Island and becoming stars.
The chair kills me. The chair kills me.
Every time I go to a hotel now, it's the first thing I look for.
Why?
You know, you just need to know that the chair is there for you. Just in case.
Yeah. Okay. All right. If you say so.
We're always just making sure. I'm never calling out Marco Stunt. Never. I like Marco.
Nah, Marco seems cool.
Oh, man. Hilarious. Anyway. What's next?
What is van lifers? Joel, you gotta watch better television.
It's all YouTube content.
You gotta watch better YouTube.
I don't. My YouTube is basically like certain travel vloggers that are not van lifers, tech YouTubers, one guy who plays Mario Maker and has a soothing voice, and the late night hosts, the late night monologues. Oh, and like Gen Z political channels, political topic channels, political commentary. Yeah, political commentary channels. I can speak, I promise.
That was terrible as well.
They're all bad.
None of this sounds good.
That's it. I'm not getting into video game music YouTube. I've never been a big video game music guy. Although 8-Bit Music Theory does rule. They are very good. Not my thing. No Simpsons Breakdown. No, because after season 10, you're done. The movie was like, we can't do much more after this. That was it. I don't need all the breakdowns about why a certain scene is politically relevant or not.
No.
I did watch Orator for a while. Brendan almost got it. I actually watch Orator's friend. I watch Panga. I'm an avid Pangea Panga watcher.
Pangea Panga? Is it about penguins?
He goes by Panga. It is not penguin related. He has a whole thing about why he named himself that. But yeah, it's that. Those are the ones that I watch.
Xeno Hour. go be a chair. Go be a cuck chair. Stay, just keep it to yourself. Be a cuck chair.
Can't wait till you go to the Holiday Inn and figure out how to work. Get out of this Marriott hotel.
People just, I mean, it's wrestling, so I get it, but like, yeah, him, go be a fam. Like, what? Huh? What are you doing? Yeah. Anyway.
Back in my day, we used to take those fans backstage and have a conversation with our fists.
T-Von, get the cuck chair.
So, how did you get busted open really upset with you? Went after Bully. Look back, I thought it was great. Bully, not so much. It happens. Tables, ladders, and cuck chairs.
We've peaked. We can't top. D-Von, get the cuck chair and tables, ladders, and cuck chairs. Never mind.
No, please. Go ahead.
Wait, I guess so. Like, I'm going to actually make this wrestling related for some reason or another. So, like, the table's set up, and then, like, you know, it's get the cuck chair. And then, like, they sit the tag team partner in the cuck chair. So they do, like, the 3D to the other person. Like, you got to watch. You got to watch. We 3D your partner through this table.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Or they put you in the cuck chair and they do the was up drop onto the cuck chair because, you know, got to give them a little something, right?
Nah, yeah. Oh, man.
You know what? When they give D-Von that elusive producer position he thinks he's going to get, that should be the first thing he pitches. All right, so Bubba and I are in the ring. And next thing you know, I'm going to say, Bubba, get the cock chair. And Bubba's just going to look and be like, you too? Was this on LFG? Yeah, may as well have been. We should be pitching this to Janela.
Oh, Janela loves this shit.
Yeah,
we should pitch a bunch of stuff to Janela.
It sucks Janela. That we're so professional when we talk to these people, because if they saw the rest of the shit we talk about, they would be much more inclined to join us for these shows.
I mean, we are a little professional, but then we did the Paul London interview, and that was not professional at all.
That was a choice. That was amazing.
I mean, the one we did with him and the one SP3 and I did, like, both of them were just completely off the rails. We were talking about zombies jacking off on Tuesday's show with Paul London. So, no, this... And next time we have Janela on, we'll just start throwing ideas at him. See, he's going to be like, all right, guys, how about we don't do any of this?
Up to you, just being a pal. Want you to have these here. We wrote a list, and it's just like, it just falls off the floor. It's just a long-ass list. Oh, my God. Yeah. All right. Well, we did it. We got through this episode. Wait, sorry, we still got another hour and a half to go. Who am I kidding?
I don't feel like we need to get through another hour and a half. It feels like that's the end of this show.
All the promoters are pushing back on everything Dave's been saying lately. So might as well get to the main topic. So now that, so this is the, there have been two things now. The first is actually our topic over here, our actual main thumbnail topic. And the other one is actually a story that dropped in the Wrestling Observer newsletter this morning about WWE ID. The deal, according to the contract, is that Gabe Sapolsky puts their matches together, the WWE ID matches, and then gives the script to the promoter who has booked them. The promoter pays the talent and can push that the talent comes from WWE. WWE covers the travel costs with a stipend, and the promoter pays the difference if the travel costs are larger than the stipend. That is according to Dave and the newsletter. Brett Lauderdale just tweeted out and quote tweeted the story and said, "My experience with WWE ID. 1. Gabe doesn't put the matches together. 2. I've never seen or heard of a script. 3. We are allowed to push WWE ID on talent announcements, but we don't, in GCW's case. And 4. Not aware of any tribal stipend or travel share, but that would be cool." This is all Brett's experience. I'm not saying that that is 100% what happens, but that is the experience of one specific promoter. I'm interested in seeing how other promoters come out or don't to discuss how this matters or doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been some wrestlers who have talked about it as well. I'm going to go with what Brett says here, because Brett's a promoter who works with WWE ID and has worked with WWE on a number of things, actually, because WWE talent has worked GCW shows, namely Bloodsport, which it feels more as a Barnett thing than a Lauderdale thing. But obviously WWE ID talent have been part of GCW shows. Mathers is part of stuff. Jack Cartwheel has been part of stuff. And like, they've lost on these shows too. So I don't think I don't have any insight on this. The way I've gathered the WWE ID stuff from just a viewer perspective and just like seeing how it's put together, it feels like you can book WWE ID talent and they can win or lose, and it's not an issue. You know, Statlander faced Aaron Rourke at a Beyond show, and Statlander won. Megan Bain's facing, I think, Zeta coming up pretty soon. That might be at a GCW show as well. And I'm gonna assume Megan Bain's gonna win that match. I don't feel like Megan Bain's gonna be losing too much on the indies.
Although, if it is happening, and this is now out there, I would love for Brett to do the other way around just to fuck with people.
I mean,
he could.
That'd be funny. But like, you can look at the cage match and you can see that, you know, Marcus Mathers has lost independent matches. Jack Cartwheel has lost independent matches. Like, you can literally see this on cage match. Where I'm thinking that WWE ID is involved is they put together certain WWE ID matches. Nick Wayne, by the way, beat Marcus Mathers at a Defy show earlier this year. So there's another example. So they, for example, so Marcus Mathers faced Aaron Rourke, both WWE ID talents, at WWN, which has basically been used for WWE ID matches. And Mathers won that match. That's where I think ID has some say in who wins. If it's ID talent against ID talent, they are like, hey, we want this guy to win. Because the way Jack Cartwheel was saying is like, they're basically running a promotion through other promotions, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah, you know, it's like the NWA title going from the NWA proper to your local, you know, your local indie, because the champ's in town. Odds are they're not going to drop the title, or Billy will have a say if they want to do an angle. But when they're in NWA, they're running NWA stories similar to that.
Yeah. So that's how I've gathered it. And that's how, and if you look at just announcements and results, that's what it looks like. It is. Could be completely wrong. Obviously don't know the back end stuff. Brett talking about back end stuff of script, and we're allowed to push the ID on talent announcements. So, you know, company promotions definitely do that. GCW has enough just cachet with the fans to where they don't need to be like, hey, WWE ID talent. Like most of these guys were already GCW staples before they were with WWE ID. So they probably don't feel the need to do that. And I don't think Gabe puts together matches unless they are ID and ID matches. And then I do think that there is like, hey, we want this person to win. And I'm sure the promoters are, because most of the companies, it's like WWN or CZW. Like, yeah, sure. What do we care who wins this match, this ID versus ID match?
Yeah, it really feels like, and you mentioned Jack Cartwheel kind of alluding to this, if it's ID versus ID and it has some sort of play into the titles that they're going to be launching, or if they have some sort of interest in the Evolve component that comes with WWE ID, then yeah, it makes sense that Gabe would have a say. It's no different than, again, like the NWA champion goes into the territory, or GCW champions, the tag champions, right? Cole and Alec will go into, you know, Blood Brothers, sorry, that's the name of the host, the Northern Crown, and they'll put up the GCW tag titles against like Bang and Matthews. That's an easy match. Like Brett's gonna say, okay, well, my tag team goes over because they are the tag champions. If it's a GCW tag team title match sanctioned at this event, then I have final say as to what my tag team champions do. That makes perfect sense. WWE ID versus WWE ID. Yeah, if it's going to play into the role of the WWE ID product and the system and the eventual titles that they're going to have, then it makes sense that Gabe would basically send them and say, these two people are coming to play in your house. This is what's going to happen. And then they're going to leave. Like they're there to be a part of it. That's kind of how I see it too, is if they're just facing other talent, they're taking an indie booking, then they can be promoted as WWE ID, but it's not a showcase match, which is what they've been saying these WWE ID versus WWE ID matches are. Those are a showcase. The other ones are just matches with ID talent.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Freelance uses, Ryan's mentioning Chicago Indies, like Freelance uses a lot of WWE ID talent, Kylie Rae being a big example of an ID talent who gets regularly used.
The Bisprite people have gotten back to me.
Oh boy, this is the update we all needed for today.
Did we actually want this, or should we just go about our day?
I don't know. No, we can't leave the people hanging after yesterday where you buried Bispry.
So first of all, for those who missed yesterday's show, I ordered a phone through Best Buy, through a company called Bispry. They do like refurbished and refreshed phones. Bought an iPhone 14 Pro, 512 gigabyte model, and they called it eSIM only. That means it's a US version. Don't care, they're unlocked. I paid $400 Canadian for it. It's like 150 US, kind of a joke. But anyway, I knew that they screwed up and they sent me an 11 Pro instead. And they think that they're being coy. So I sent them a message on Best Buy's website and it just says like, it says contact seller. And all I said was, you sent me an 11 Pro. That's it. And then I got the automatic macro that said like, oh, please look at this PDF document and we can work towards a resolution. Da, 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 da. I'm here to support you. And I just said, hi, it's a very simple situation. Bispy sent me the wrong phone. I would like for you to send me the right phone. I can send back the 11 Pro, but I would like the assurance that the 14 Pro will be sent to me. Thanks. This is the reply. Hello, thank you for contacting Bispry Customer Service. I do apologize for the inconvenience that this has caused you. However, please know that we cannot facilitate your request. We can only offer you a return for a full refund. We humbly ask for your understanding and cooperation regarding this matter.
Humbly ask.
We are here to support you through every step of the way, and if you have any additional questions or concerns, please do not hesitate to contact us. Our team is committed to providing you the best possible customer service experience and resolving the issue for you. Good thing, because resolving the issue is sending me the right phone because you screwed up. Now I got to call these assholes, because they're only going to reply once a day, by the way. Because of Best Buy, they'll only reply once a day. Now I have to deal with them on the phone. Bullshit. I ain't sending back no phone. You send me my right phone. You screwed up. Assholes.
They humbly request your understanding, Joel.
They fucked up. All they have to do is own up to the fact that they wrong listing and went, and instead of pulling, this is what really frustrates me. A proper company would have just canceled the order and that would have been it. And I've had that happen before. They could have told, you know, cancel the order and say, oh, we're out of stock. Okay, fine. Instead, they decided to pull a bait and switch and think that that was okay. Like, in what world is that the answer? That's what bugs me. That's why I'm on the warpath now, because they thought they were going to screw with someone who, you know, was buying one thing and they got something else. That's what annoys me. They just had to cancel it.
Go fight them.
I want to. I'm going to go to Gaithersburg, Maryland and just go after them.
Yeah, hell yeah. Let's all go to Maryland and fight Buy Spry, everybody.
Don't even know that's legitimately where the company is, or if they just have a PO box somewhere. I'm going to call them after this. So stupid. Ryan Adams saying Maple Leaf Pro announced Zoe Zagger versus Kaylee Ray. Sorry, Kylie Ray. Kaylee Ray was someone else. Zoe Zagger versus Kaylee. Oh my God. Kylie Ray. Oh my God. I hate myself. Both are WWE ID talents.
Yeah. I mean, it's very possible. It's an ID match, and maybe Dia Moore, you know, had to, again, whoever they want to win is maybe going to win. We should ask Scott DeMore of like what his experience is with it. They work with a bunch of indies. I imagine it changes from indie to indie. GCW, I'm not saying they play by different rules, but they're in a much higher position than a lot of these independent companies. So they don't, Brett said it himself, like, we can use the WWE ID branding, we choose not to. That's their choice, because they're in a position to not have to do that. A different indie might not feel that they can be in that position, so they're going to use the brand.
Yeah, it's as easy as that. And if you end up doing some sort of ID match, and then because this is part of their tournament too for the women's championship for Maple Leaf Pro, so the winner of this doesn't then go on to have the next match be a, you know, basically, like, let's say it's Gabe. Let's just say for the sake of putting a face on it, let's say it's Gabe who gets to say, okay, we would like for Zoe Zagger to go on in this particular tournament. After that, there's no more say, because there are no more WWE ID talent involved. That's just the one time. And that's it. Could be as easy as that. If everyone in this tournament was WWE ID'd, then it would be a different conversation. And questionable at best.
Yeah.
Zeno Hour. Scott DeMore in the cuck chair of his own promotion. You people are menaces. I'm pretty sure the Better Business Bureau does exist in Canada, by the way. So I can look into that, but it doesn't matter, because they're an American company that I'm ordering from. I knew the risks, but I also know that I have the reward.
I don't feel like you do. I feel like you've,
I have the fake reward. I have the leverage right now. How's that?
Do you?
No, but I can tell myself that I do.
I feel like they've got you in the cuck chair here, Joel.
They definitely do not. I have
the I feel like BuySpry is fucking the iPhone 14 in front of you, and you're watching with your iPhone X. I feel like that's how this is going.
It's an 11 Pro. Get it right. Dick. But No.
Joel's so mad that the camera quality sucks compared to the 14. He's like, I ordered the 3.5 camera and I've got the 11, which only has the 2.3 camera. And he's so mad as he's watching BuySpry and the iPhone 14 just have hot pixel sex.
Jesus Christ. Oh, this is a problematic show. I'm not.
The frame rates on the iPhone 11 are not giving me good quality to this iPhone fucking we got going on here.
The argument is simple. Why did you send me the wrong phone when you knew you had the wrong listing? That's really all it comes down to. Then that's the conversation that's going to ensue. Why didn't you pull the listing? Why didn't you cancel the order? What are we doing here? They acted in bad faith. That's what it comes down to. Order from Cuxcellular.
Oh, Cuxcellular.
You people are menaces.
Cuxcellular.
People suck. Listen, I'd rather you guys roast me than the one that's that they're talking about, between potential roast of WrestleMania. Oh, you see this news? You see this garbage?
Who could possibly care about that shit? Let's make more cuck jokes with Joel's phone.
Don't worry. Other people want to make those jokes too, but not about my phone.
Let's do that. That's way funnier.
Ryan, you took it too far. That's not nice.
Let's at least be nice to Joel. We can make fun of his cuckcellular phone, but let's not say Joel is being a cuck boy.
Damn, boy. Cuck mania is hilarious. That's what it's going to be after all said and done. Actually, so we'll go back to the thumbnail, the reason why we're doing this whole thing and why we talked about
we're changing the thumbnail to just the cuck chair. That's it. It's just going to be that chair, and it's just it's nothing just else.
This is it. It's just going to be this. Waiting for those MILF mayors. Anyway. So there was a report that went out this week that there's been talk of naming Rock and Cena the Rock and Soul Connection, to which Brian Gewirtz...
It's WrestleMania season because Gewirtz is out here
He's tweeting.
Shooting shit down. He's going to be on Busted Open soon and telling all the behind-the-scenes stories and how everybody got it wrong. It's going to rule.
He ain't going to say shit because he's got to wait until he can write a book about it. That's all he's just protecting his ass.
He was on all the shows last year and doing interviews and talking about... Remember, because he made a bunch of headlines because he's like... Oh yeah, Cody was supposed to be a little bit more... He wasn't supposed to be so sad when The Rock cucked him out of the WrestleMania spot.
Rock said, "Why don't you go take a seat over there?"
Yeah, so Gewirtz was telling stories last year, so I assume he's going to be doing some interviews telling stories this year. Fantastic.
Gewirtz just shoots it right down and was like, wrong again. Everyone's like, why? What are we doing here? This is the one thing that really annoys me about this time of year, is that people simultaneously, fans want to see the magic, but they don't like it when the magician tells them that's not it. Like, they want to know what's going on in the kitchen, but they don't like it when the chef says, no, that's not it. They want to believe so badly, but they also want to know that they're not being worked, that like, the second Gewirtz said, no, that's not it, they were like, nope, that's not it. Big Dave's a liar, or whoever reported it. And that shit just always annoys me, because they're trying to get their point across because they're in the bubble, or they're inside the story, and everyone's reporting who's outside. But like, yes, they're getting secondhand information, but like, they're sourcing, if they're good, they're sourcing it to more than one person. Like, it's a really annoying time of year for this stuff. People just want to believe what they want to believe, but they also want to know that they're not being, you know, they're not being worked, brother. It's wrestling. Nothing, none of this matters.
I don't know if it's Rock and Soul Connection. I think that name sucks, by the
way.
If that's really what was pitched, which I can 100% believe it was, like, I feel like they pitch a bunch of stuff. That doesn't mean they're going forward with it or anything, but I can 100% believe that like someone in that room was like, what about Rock and Soul Connection? And that might be as far as it went. No idea. But yeah, that name sucks if that's what it is. Like, it's The Rock and John Cena. Just call them The Rock and John Cena. You don't have to go fancy with your tag team name for a duo that might appear on screen together like two more times the rest of the year, like Mania and then maybe the Raw after Mania. I don't have a whole lot of hope that like Rock's gonna be part of the show for very long, though. So I don't know if they need to go super fancy with a tag team name here. Just throw them all on a t-shirt like you did with Travis Scott and sell your t-shirts like that. You don't need to do some type of team name. And if you do, come up with something better than Rock and Soul Connection, because that sucks.
Just call them the Hollywood Connection. There you go.
Hollywood Connection. Why does it gotta be like Connection?
Call them the Hollywood Squares.
Just call them Fast and Furious. Just see.
Let them fight over which one's fast and which one's furious.
Dwayne and John. That's their names.
John and Dwayne.
DJ. And then it's just, you know, it's the Rock's initials as well. So Dwayne the Rock's John. All excited.
Dwayne John.
Just call them the Hollywood Homeboys. All right.
Hollywood Homies.
I don't know if Break a Wish is like that's a cool line. I don't know about that being a tag team name though.
Yeah, Break a Wish t-shirt.
They might get sued for Hollywood Honks.
this was the funniest shit to me last night. We were talking on the post show. I was like, people were just like, what happens to Ryan Nemeth after all this? And I'm like, what do you mean what happens to Ryan Nemeth? He painted himself into a corner. He's got nowhere else to go. He's literally suing or threatening to sue his former employer and the guy who went to work for the company that's partnered with his current employer. Like, what do you mean? What's he going to do? It'd be funny if he tried to sue them over Hollywood Hunks, though.
What happens to Ryan Nemeth? Sure. That's definitely the
takeaway. That was the question of one person in our chat. What happens to Ryan Nemeth?
No, the same thing that's been happening to Ryan Nemeth for like 20 years now. He's gonna just get steady work somewhere and be okay. Like, he's getting to a podcast or stand-up show or whatever he does.
Because the show's just gonna be My Big Brother. It's going to be him just tracking his brother's whereabouts. I put an air tag in my brother's suitcase. Let's see where he is right now. Right now, he's at home. That's the end of the episode for this week.
So concerned with Ryan Nemeth. That rules. Good on Ryan Nemeth.
His new gimmick should be random lawsuits.
That would be fantastic, actually. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, it would be great. Yeah, I made him into a YouTuber. Ryan Nemeth, the YouTuber. Let's track my brother's whereabouts. Nemeth can go to OVW. There are enough people from TNA who work for OVW, so you could do it. Yeah, he's going to turn on his brother tonight. They're going to have a match at Rebellion. It's happening. It's going to be all in service of getting to Nick Nemeth versus JBL at Slammiversary. I'm so excited for that shit.
That sounds terrible.
Terribly entertaining, yes. Come on, if you're a Laps fan and someone tells you that Dolph Ziggler and Bradshaw are going to have a match and you can get tickets for $20 and it's a pay-per-view and it's at UBS Arena, you'd consider it.
No, I wouldn't at all. This sounds awful.
What if I told you the Hardys were going to have a tag team tables, ladders, and chairs tile match? Would that get you to buy the $20 ticket?
I mean, yeah, the Hardys wrestling gets me a little bit closer to wanting to be at the show. But why would I want to see JBL against Nick Nemeth? That's hilarious for me. Like, but I wouldn't pay for that either. Like, I'd happily just watch that at home and laugh. I would not spend money to go see that match.
Listen, man, there are people who want to spend hours in line to go see their racist hero deny them of their beer opportunities. So I don't put it past that there are people who want to watch Nick Nemeth take on JBL in 2025.
Yeah, not for me.
But the history, all the times JBL came in and did the blah, and all the times that JBL came in and took out other people, and all the times JBL brought Nick Nemeth down to the ring in Triple A where they're not doing the match. It'll be fun, right? Yeah.
No.
Elijah turning on Joe Hendry seems logical. However, I think after last night, Jeremy, I have to say, the play is Ali and Santana long term. Did you watch much of TNA last night, or did you see the standout segment between Ali and Santana?
I did see the segment, yes.
I think Ali's winning. I think they're starting to tell the Santana redemption story. Santana's been undefeated. Now they've pointed that out multiple times. This is going to be the fall of Santana chapter. He's going to lose. He's going to question himself. He's going to have to climb his way back up. Ali, I think, is going to win the match, win the title, possibly from Hendry, which would get good heat. And Ali would be the best worst champion because he would make Santana's life hell while Santana's trying to fight back. And eventually Santana gets his comeuppance for Slammiversary, wins his way to a match with Ali, beats Ali, and wins the title. That is a story of a story. And these two have already proven they have the chemistry out of the ring. If they do it in the ring, when I no doubt they will, that's, you can drag that out until July and it would be top tier story for TNA. I hope they go there. That's my feeling, is that where they're going to go.
All right. I hope you're right. Like, I much prefer that over your awful, and I know this is you just booking, surmising booking, but your awful Frankie Kazarian and Santana match that I don't feel is going to do much in terms of getting people in. Ali and Santana, yeah, the segment last night was great. I think they'll have the best match on the show tonight. And I'm all for that being a more long-term story.
And I was never a big fan of the Kazarian idea either. It was all just trying to service a babyface versus a heel, right?
I know, so you're reading the tea leaves. I know.
Yeah, no, in this case, this is a very much Ali Santana should be your next 6 months of storytelling in TNA. There's no reason around it. SB3 and I were talking about this. This is their A1 story. Their champion is not even he's in a 10-man steel cage match where, like, nobody really matters other than the one guy that's on his team was probably going to turn on him, even though he's like, I'm not going to turn on you, man. And that's going to be that. Easy, easy peasy, right?
And we'll see. Someone's going to turn. Yeah, you think it's Elijah's turning tonight, and that's how we're going to do this?
I think Ryan Nemeth is going to cost Nick Nemeth, and that's going to be the turn. The Elijah and Joe Hendry thing, I feel like they might do that in a different way.
You don't need to do too many turns on this show. Like, do the Ryan Nemeth one or do the Nick's in the cage match, right?
Yes, but here was the thing. Ryan took Nick's contract rematch last night. He took the world title rematch, which is, by the way, that was a clever way to get out of giving Nick Nemeth an automatic rematch for the world title. Now they're going to play it up. First of all, they've already shown us Nick Nemeth doesn't watch the product. We already know this. That's been established in canon. Fair. This whole time off, he hasn't watched. This is a good way to get away from that and set up Nick versus Ryan. You know they want to do it. The brothers want to fight. That's, someone said, okay, let's just do that. But that's where they're going with that particular show. Ryan Nemeth, my big brother.
I don't think you should do two turns in this match. So
neither do I.
Okay.
I think the Elijah thing happens at the tapings, or they set up some miscommunication that leads to that.
All right.
The show tonight is live on TNA Plus, and then they're taping tomorrow night for 2 weeks of TV. I don't think they're doing a live show again until they haven't announced one, have they? Maybe one of the Irvine shows is live? California after Rebellion?
Yeah, I think one of those shows is live. Let's check. Let's see.
Show me Impact Live.
I don't know. Okay, March.
Yeah, they're live May 1st.
May 1st. Oh, okay.
So that is the show after Rebellion. That seems to be where they're going, is they'll do a live show after a pay-per-view and maybe a live show here and there after that. So there you go. They'll be taped. Speaking of taped and not taped, WWE has announced that Backlash will be taking place Saturday, May the 10th. That's 3 weeks after WrestleMania, live from St. Louis at the Enterprise Center. Randy Orton will absolutely be the headliner for that show. And then they have to downsize the venue again.
WWE Today announced that Backlash will emanate from the Enterprise Center in St. Louis, Missouri on Saturday, May 10th. The event will feature St. Louis native Randy Orton, in addition to WWE superstar John Cena, who will make his first Backlash appearance since 2009 as he continues to work on his year-long farewell tour. And there you go.
There you go. It's going to be a busy John Cena-filled few months.
Ah, fuck.
What happened?
Nothing. I'll tell you off okay. air.
It's nothing that just dropped that I would just miss. Oh, they.
It's not. No, it's not new. It's not like wrestling news. Oh, okay.
I was under the impression it was. I saw that Randy Orton did an announcement for the Backlash announcement. Good for him. I'm glad that people are booing the stateside Backlash. It worked for a little while doing it internationally. They'll still be doing international shows in the next little while. They're just not going to do Backlash every year elsewhere. They got other money to make. That's how it works. I won't be there. I'm sorry. Imagine willingly claiming you're from St. Louis. It's true. I get it. It's not where I would want to be from. I visited St. Louis. I liked it okay. So, you think the Rock and Sock connection would rock? The Rock and
Rock and Sock.
The Rock and Sock connection would rule. Doing one. Oh, doing that now with Mick Foley and this version of the final boss in the ring. Mick trying to be funny. Dwayne just being like, from one second he's a baby face, and then the next second he's like, "Shut up, fatty." I'm just kidding. I'm just playing a role. Those two trying to do It's a Wonderful Life, but it's 2025. That would rule and be simultaneously the worst. That's what I want for my wrestling. All right, what else we got?
Sorry, this news is throwing me off. It's nothing bad or anybody out there. It's nothing that has anything to do with this show. It has things to do with my other responsibilities on this website. So I'm just trying to get things in order. That's my fault. A little thrown off.
Tell them they're the worst and that they need to listen to your plans.
Yeah.
You know who we need to clean this place up? We need Butterbean. He'll clean this place up for us.
Oh, I should check my Instagram messages. So remember I messaged the Lightning Foot, I forget his name, who you told me to message him.
Did I?
Yeah. He was on the show you went to, the Northern Crown show with the gimmick.
Oh, Bruce Thundersteam.
Yeah, Thunder, not Lightning.
Thundersteam. Yeah, that's why I was very confused, because I was talking about Butterbean.
Yeah.
Okay. Come on, Bruce.
No, he messaged me back, but I never check Instagram. But I checked Instagram yesterday, and I was like, oh, fuck, I'm so sorry. I apologize that you know, I didn't message you back. So we're hopefully going to get him on the show pretty soon.
Hell yeah. Bruce Thundersteam needs to be on the show. He needs to be the weekend talent that runs this event. We need him and someone, I don't know who, running an ITW weekend show. I don't know who.
That would be great.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to potentially bringing Bruce Thundersteam onto the show, because people need to have more eyes on this guy. Mr. Shakeweight himself.
I do have a feeler out to Butterbean. I've contacted his people, so we shall see if anything comes out of that.
It's a big match that he's going to be having, and people are starting to notice it. All started when we started noticing it. Oh, man, Bruce Thundersteam and Maggie. That's a tandem I need to see. And I'm not being sarcastic. I think I need to see that. She'll have no idea who this man is, which makes it even funnier, because it's not like she watches the Canadian independence scene. Chad, thank you for letting us know. We did mention that Backlash will be in St. Louis May the 10th. Yeah. We'll even have a short on it over on on this channel.
Because well, something simple for me.
Yeah, because it's easy work for Jeremy, and we like to give Jeremy easy peasy work.
Yeah.
Should we go through the rest of this TNA card for tonight just because we're here?
Sure.
We've basically already talked about the two big matches. Cora Jade's going to be taking on Masha Slamovich for the TNA Knockouts World title. I'm sure everyone's very excited for this. She's going to lose. Good for Cora Jade coming in, making a run for the Knockouts Tag Knockouts Championship. I think this would be a lot better if they did it as a hardcore match, but it'll be what it'll be for now. Masha and Cora, it'll be fine. Masha will retain, and we'll just keep on moving on, right?
Cora should win. Fuck it. Just to do that with the title, just to piss you off. If Cora Jade wins, you got to do a post show.
Just so I can absolutely lose my shit on the air. Let's go. Right. Think about it. The six-man tag, right? The Rascals and Ace Austin take on Wesley, Tyson, and Tyreek. This is the match that I think will start moving us closer to Tyreek and Tyson going after the NXT tag titles, and I think the Hardys will be involved in that too. Make it a three-way, maybe even a four-way for the NXT tag titles at Fraxium, of course, and maybe Hank and Tank. No, maybe not Hank and Tank. Some other tag team, but that's where I'm at. For this match, I think that... I don't know for sure. I think Wesley, Tyson, and Tyreek win to balance out the NXT people. The NXT contingent on the show.
Yeah, I could see them. Sure, they win.
I will not be recording my reaction to this match.
That's what we need. Use your iPhone 11, not 14, and record your reaction.
I have a 13, okay? I have a this is my regular phone. I have it. I tried to upgrade because I need a better battery for upcoming events. I hate you so much. Mustafa Ali and Mike Santana. I think I mentioned this earlier. Ali's going to win this thing. He should be winning this thing to start the redemption for Santana, or the bottoming out of Santana. It's a de facto number one contenders match for the TNA world title. Except for when Elijah turns on Joe Hendry and gets the match instead.
I thought Santana was going to win, but now you're kind of sold me on Ali winning and prolonging the feud. So I guess we'll see.
Ali sold me last night. That particular segment really did me in as like they need to. Santana has not faced adversity. And there was a line in that promo about pressure meeting adversity. And like the promo was about Santana not living up to the pressure and not being able to take on adversity. But meanwhile, Santana's like, no, I've done all this. I've done all this. But the way that they made it sound was that Santana's going to crumble under this pressure. He's going to lose the adversity. Lose to adversity, and it's going to make him question his entire like sobriety, his everything, and as a result Ali will reign supreme and make life hell for Santana. That's the way it should go. That's the way it should be.
All right, but I'm with it. I can see that, and I do hope they prolong it, because again, I would much prefer Ali and Santana as opposed to Santana and Kazarian.
Mance Warner with Steph DeLander take on Sammy Callahan. Did you see their little segment this week?
I did not catch that one. No.
You're better off. Sammy does the like close up into the camera talking to his like just saying words. He's like, I'm angry and I'm gonna beat up Mance Warner. And then Steph DeLander walks into the shot and like says, are you crashing out on camera? And you've got Mance Warner coming up. You're like, oh, you want to hit old Mancer. You want to hit old Mancer so bad right now. And these two men with their differing accents and weird carny sayings just jaw-jacking back and forth until Steph DeLander slaps Sammy in the face. It was so bad. But I'm looking forward to this because it's a street fight. And these two guys are pretty, pretty good at the street fighting. But Mancer's going to win. It's his first match in. Let's go. It's not his first match. It's his first like big match because he's had a match on TNA.
Right.
Moose and Jeff Hardy for the X Division Championship. It's a ladder match. Moose is going to win. Jeff Hardy will be good because Jeff Hardy gets to jump off of tall things, and that's that. Anything to add?
Am I going to be mad?
No, I said, do you have anything to add?
Oh, do I have anything to add?
Are you going to be mad when
Moose retains? Yeah, I was going to say, is that what you're saying? Like, are you going to be mad that Moose retains? I don't know if Moose is going to retain.
I think they're setting up Leon Slater for Moose.
Okay.
I think Leon's the guy to win that title and move on in the X division. Because if Moose is so against cashing in option C and trying to make this the best X division championship reign ever, sure, then Leon's got to be the guy to dethrone him. Frankie Kazarian takes on Stephen Macklin. This is just a match on the card. I think Kazarian's going to win. Sorry, Steve Macklin, you big old loser.
Yeah, I feel like Kazarian's gonna win that as well.
He's been not so secretly winning every single singles match he's been in. Friend Macklin's been on a slide. Northern Army is gonna show up. They're gonna get involved. No, there won't be like no Eric Young. It's just gonna be the Sinner and Saint guys. And then Macklin's gonna be like, "You told me you were gonna stay out of my way." Da 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 da. And Eric Young's gonna be like, "I did stay out of your way. I didn't send them out. They did it on their own volition." And that'll rekindle whatever they're supposed to do. Eric Young's a ghost, right? Like, we've established he is a ghost. He doesn't exist, right? Because, like, he walked in. They did a thing at the fireside. I don't know if you saw this promo on TNA, but, like, Macklin's sitting there. He's journaling. And all of a sudden, they come in. Just EY comes in a frame, sits down at the fire, and they share a drink. And they just talk. And then Macklin gets up and says, "You saw your way and you can see your way out." I'm like, yeah, of course he did. He's a ghost. He didn't know how to come in anyway because he's a damn ghost. EY's not real is what I'm getting at.
I feel like he is real, though.
They killed him. He came back to life, allegedly. Remember the Apocalypse Now thing that Macklin did where, you know, EY was a day behind Macklin. He went to the hotel and all that stuff. I'm pretty sure it's because EY was a ghost. He's a damn ghost, Eric Young. First man to ever get killed in TNA and come back the next week. Well, next a few months later. Amazing how they had to tell that story. Anyway, Macklin's going to lose. The only other real match on the card is Tessa and Ling Li. Hooray. Tessa's going to win. They were making up Ling Li as like this big star that's been undefeated when really she's had four singles matches since she debuted in September last year. Oh, when they brought that up last night on commentary, I was like, really? What are you doing? And then everyone's going to make jokes because Tessa Ling Li, oh, of course, you beat the Asian woman, and that'll be that. Hopefully El Paso has plenty to say to Miss Blanchard when she comes out.
Yeah, they were on her last time, so when they were in Texas, so yeah.
Bless Texas. Once in a while, y'all get it right. Steel Cage 10-man tag, we kind of alluded to it, but Hendry, Hardy, Elijah, Slater, Nick Nemeth versus the System and the Colognes. I think the System and the Colognes win it, and that's that. Look at everyone. Happy as a pig and shit. That's how you feel about it too, right? I know. It's just existing. It's just there. It's just a match that's happening. So this is why we're not doing a post show, because we basically just told you what's going to happen. Sure, they can swerve us and do something completely different, but I don't really think they will. What else should we talk about here?
SmackDown in a couple hours.
That's right. Who, oh, that was you. What? Jeremy. Where is SmackDown tonight?
Oh, I don't know what I put.
You put the Wells Fargo Center in Philly. You did last week. It's okay. Yeah. They're in Barcelona, or however you
are. Yeah, I knew they were in Spain. That's on me. My bad, guys.
That's okay. I like to make the joke once in a while. You're still good at your job. Someone asking, does Chavo show up tonight? If he does, he'll do a little backstage thing, and it'll lead to him doing a match that tapes tomorrow night for TNA. That's all I'm expecting from Chavo. I don't even know what Chavo was going to do unless he does like a six-man with the Colognes or has a friend and teams up against the Colognes. Like, I don't know what the plan is. I was about to ask Shucky Ducky because they said they're in Spain, but going to Barcelona is a pain, so maybe not. Wish you could go. If you can, go to SmackDown. It starts in a few hours. Miz TV with Cody Rhodes? Is John Cena going to show up in the middle of that Miz TV and be like, Miz, fine speech. I beat you at WrestleMania. Miz will be like, no, actually, I beat you. And John Cena will just beat the shit out of Miz for a minute to get the heat back. And then Cody Rhodes will be like, I'm the captain now.
I don't think Cena's showing up. I feel like if Cena was on the show, they'd advertise it. I don't think they would just do, oh, here's, because they're advertising him for Raw. So, yeah, I think if Cena was on the show, they'd advertise it. So I do not expect John Cena on the show at all. If he shows up, great. But feels like that's something they would advertise.
Yeah, I get it. They have him advertised for other shows, like you said. He'll just he'll be called out tonight, I think. And that'll be that, since he's going to be somewhere. He's going to be on Monday, right? Yeah. They're going to be on the Monday show in Brussels. This will just be Cody Rhodes setting up for that. And Miz and maybe Mello, they'll set up a tag match. It'll be Cody. Who could Cody get to be his friend? Take on Miz and Mello. R-Truth?
Yeah, he could. Yeah, why wouldn't it be R-Truth? That honestly sounds like the perfect partner.
There you go. We just set up your main event episode of SmackDown. It's going to be Cody Rhodes and R-Truth versus Miz and Mello.
What if
remind us, if and when it happens, tag WWE and say Joel and Jeremy got it right.
What if, like, you know, R-Truth does like the whole John Cena thing, and Cody becomes so enraged that he like beats up R-Truth?
That's it. Last week, Fightful Select reported there was supposed to be an R-Truth and Cody segment. No. This could be the week where they get to it, so that they could team those two together to take on Miz and Mello. Look at that. Charlotte Flair takes on B-Fab because Charlotte Flair needs a match, and then Tiffany Stratton will come out and beat up Charlotte Flair.
I don't know about all that. I mean, I think Charlotte Flair is going to win, and then Tiffany Stratton's going to come out, and Charlotte Flair might just stand over her again. That's such a good bit, that Charlotte's just going to stand tall all the way to WrestleMania, and she's going to win at WrestleMania as well. It's like, what did Tiffany gain from this? Experience, brother. She got the Charlotte Flair experience. Rules.
I wish her last name started with a T so we can call it the CTE. No one remembers your first title reign, right? That's how it works.
Love.
Oh, God.
Randy, love Charlotte Flair. Love the queen. Hashtag bow down.
I screwed up my own bit. You can't have Miz TV and you can't have Miz and Mello versus Cody and Truth, because it's Randy Orton versus Carmelo Hayes. So it's going to be Cody and Randy versus Mello and Miz.
Yeah.
Very upset by this.
Maybe they'll still do something with R-Truth.
Scrap the Orton match. Just scrap
Whatever. They change these planes all the time before the show. It's fine.
That's right. Triple H just got off the plane now. He's like, oh, what did you do? What did you set up? No, we're not going to do that. We're going to tear up the script, start all over again. Yeah. And then DIY takes on the Street Profits for the tag titles, apparently. Didn't realize that was on tonight's show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Feels like we're gonna get some non-finish out of this. Otherwise, like, I'd put the titles on the Street Profits, but they're both heel groups, so yeah, it feels like we're getting some type of non-finish out of this match.
Do they do a Motor City Machine Guns run in?
I don't know about like them running in, but yeah, it just feels like there's gonna be a non-finish.
I thought the Pretty Deadly got a tag title. Oh no, they did last week. They got a tag title shot.
They earned it, yeah, but they don't get the shot yet.
Man, what's going on here? LA Knight's got the US title. He's not officially announced, but you got to assume he's going to do stuff.
I don't assume that.
I do. He's going to come in and be like, "Yeah, US champion, yeah," and everyone's going to be like, "See."
All right, sure.
It feels like, you know, since A-Kid has been hanging around the Spanish indies, you should give him a showcase match. Maybe do something for Speed or for SmackDown. I hope they do the return of A-Kid. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
He should face Axiom. That'd be a sweet match.
I think Axiom versus a kid would be perfect.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That's SmackDown for tonight. They've got those four things, more than they've ever had announced in the last few weeks. Good for them. Yeah. Shows that WWE Euro trips mean you get more out of this. Oh, and of course, AEW Collision is Saturday night from Las Vegas, Nevada, home of WrestleMania 41. But don't tell them that. They're going to be at the Theater of Virgin Hotels. That's going to be a fun one. Tender is asking us if either of us have been to Spain. I have not. I've done a lot of Eastern Europe. I have not done Spain. Have you been to Spain?
I've not been to Spain, though.
You know what they say about the rains in Spain?
They get... the. Hold on. The life of the wife gets threatened by the knife. I'm thinking of the Family Guy bit, not the rains. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I don't actually know. I can only think of the Family Guy bit.
We're just going to move on.
What is it?
It falls plainly on the plains.
Oh, okay.
Falls mainly on the plains.
All right. Yeah. No, I can only think of the life of the wife gets threatened by the knife.
It's so awful. I guess Liv Morgan will be on the show. I don't know about this, but they haven't announced anything officially. Sure. Okay. About Liv. Maybe she's in Spain enjoying a new Rolex. Oh, there you go. It's been raining for 2 weeks in the city, so the quote is wrong. Ruined everything.
I think Liv Morgan posted like her schedule, and it was this was part of her schedule. So I think that's why people said Liv Morgan. But that could easily be, you know, that could easily be a dark match type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Or it could be a backstager where she's like, I'm a tag champion. I can show up wherever I want.
She is a tag champion and she can do that, unlike Bianca Belair, who should be on SmackDown, but for some reason can appear on Raw.
Well, she won the Elimination Chamber and called her shot, so she gets the window.
I guess.
It's called the window of opportunity. When God closes a window, he opens another window with opportunity. Tenders is telling us go to Malaga, go to Barcelona, go to Portugal too. I have a lot of Portuguese people that I know from this city of Toronto. Big Portuguese community. One day I'll make it to Spain. It's just, it hasn't been on my list of places to be able to go to yet. I haven't been offered the opportunity to go. I'm very much a travel worked kind of person. That's how I do most of my traveling. Collision at the Theater Virgin Hotel in Las Vegas. That'll be a fun place to run an event. You've got Katsuyori Shibata versus Ricochet in the Intercontinental Championship Eliminator Tournament, and Mark Davis versus Mark Briscoe for in that Eliminator Tournament. FTR take on Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong, and they're taping a bunch of Lucha matches for Ring of Honor. A Ring of Honor at this point is, call it LOH, just call it Lucha of Honor. That's all they're doing. It's Lucha matches. Gravity's going to come back, win that world title, and then it's going to be Ring of Lucha, ROL. What are you looking forward to at Collision this week?
I think the matches will be good. It feels like they're going to give Undisputed Kingdom and FTR a lot of time. Like, how much time did they get last time? Like, they, let's see, what is the old cage match?
25 minutes.
Was it?
Give or take, I don't know.
It was 15.
Oh, okay.
15. Yeah, it feels like they're going to get every bit of 20 on this show. So I expect that to be a long match. It'll be good. I expect it to be a long match.
Yeah, it should be good. There's also MLP this weekend.
You got the
women's quarterfinal matches on the pre-show, Bea Moss and Taylor Rising. You got Aurora Tavis versus Serena Deeb. A lot of AEW talent on the show. Mike Bennett takes on Alex Zane. Jet Setters, that's Kushida and Kevin Knight. They're going to take on QT Marshall and Blake Christian. Get ready for some Vanilla Cuties. If that's not the name of their tag team, I don't know what we're doing here.
Vanilla Cuties?
That's what we're going to call them.
All right.
Kiyomiya takes on Shelton Jean. I haven't seen Shelton Jean in a minute. The photo of him that they have is very, very 90s, like the big hair and in the triangular formation. Good for Shelton Jean. Love that dude. The Jericho Cruise Oceanic Championship. John Ross Sapp is going to be in that match. Are you excited for that?
The hell I am.
You doing okay, Sean? How you doing?
Doing all right. Rushmore.
That thing's good. Yeah. I just need Rushmore, to visit
It is sincerely worth it, but you got to visit on a Thursday or a Friday because it's the only day they sell it. But
Okay.
I've started to get Rushmore scoops.
Oh.
I talked to the dad from Dad's Deli, the source, by God. And I told him how I found it, which I was shopping at a Big Lots, and I just smelled the restaurant and went there. And he goes, oh, you always get the Rushmore. And he said, my son had a dream on President's Day of this sandwich and called and told me. So that's why we named it the Rushmore. And it's funny because they only sell it on Thursdays and Fridays. But on President's Day, my wife was like, you know, they should probably sell those on President's Day because of that. And they did. So I went and got one.
You are set up for your post wrestling scoops career.
Oh, I get so on my little Twitter subscription gimmick that I do for charity. If you subscribe for like $3, I drop like music scoops, movie scoops. I broke the news of the Post Malone Oreos like 6 months ago. Like just it's unusual what kind of scoops wrestling attracts, because like everybody's got a connection to wrestling somehow. But I think it was so funny because Kyler hit me up and he's like, how did you know about Kawhi Leonard? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean? And he was like, on your little subscription gimmick, you specifically said that he wouldn't, I think it was like he would not be playing before December or anything like that. And it was in like August or September, whatever they announced it. And I was like, oh, I knew things. You never know what might attract people. Yeah, I said it. I said he wouldn't play before Christmas. That's what it was. And I think he debuted January 4th.
I feel like it was later than that, but maybe it was. It was definitely.
I feel like it's also a pretty safe goddamn prediction, to be honest with you.
Just kind of.
I'm interested in your thoughts, Jeremy, even though this isn't the NBA show.
Nah.
When Michael Bridges.
Mikhail Bridges?
Mikhail Bridges, whatever. Saying, Tibbs, you got to chill. I think that's the right person to say that type of thing. Guy who refuses to not play.
Yeah, it's got to be him or Brunson saying it, because Mikal Bridges had like the Iron Man streak for the longest time. He played like 84 games last year because he was traded, so he
never missed a game.
Yeah, so and when he's saying that, it's like, yeah, maybe we should tone this down. Him or Brunson, because Brunson is like the leader. So if it comes from him, there's a little bit more cachet into his words as well. But everyone knows this.
The Knicks have the most used three-person combos in the NBA, 1-7.
Everyone knows that Tibbs just plays the guys 48 minutes a night. And then they wonder why they flame out in the playoffs, because they don't run enough. They don't run enough of their depth during the regular season.
Or why Luol Deng was cooked at 28, Noah at 29, why Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose never played 65 games after leaving Chicago. I was a Bulls fan before I adopted the Raptors. I was a Bulls fan. I watched this unfold in real time. It was great to see Luol Deng out there for 42 minutes a game. It was cool. I liked it, but then I realized, maybe that's not good. I would rather a player play 75 to 82 games at 30 to 33, 34 minutes than I would them play, 55 to 60, which is the norm now. I hate it. I hate it all around.
And the problem with like the Knicks is they've got some okay bench pieces that they can play. It's not like these guys are so terrible that they shouldn't be in the league. And it's like, oh, we can't play these guys at all. Like, you can play these guys for 6 minutes and be okay. It'll be fine. Like, they're pretty comfortable in the East in a playoff spot. Rest your starters down the stretch. It'll be fine.
Yeah, but what about Otega Owe in the SEC tournament last night?
I don't watch basketball.
By the way, if you're ever typing in SEC tournament, make sure you are diligent in doing that. That way you don't type in sex tournament into Google.
Well, listen, everyone's looking for something different sometimes, John.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Otega Owe will not pop up maybe a guy named Mark Pope playing a much different role will pop up. I think it's Mark Pipe that's been popping up when I do those searches, but I'll catch you guys later.
Bye, Sean.
What just happened?
I don't think we accomplished anything with that, but it's fine. We haven't accomplished anything on the show at all today. So
you didn't even have anything to plug on Select or even talk about the fact that the SmackDown post show is early. Actually, I don't know if it is, but the Raw shows are
gonna be early. Yeah. What do I don't we know do? The SmackDown shows are.
Yeah. I should probably, you know what I can do? I can literally just go right here, StreamYard, and let's
I don't
see
think it's set up yet.
You haven't set it up yet? Kate, yeah. What are we doing? What are we doing, Kate? I think it's actually Rob who does those, but anyway. anyway, nothing really to talk about. Let's face it. It's Friday. Everyone's ready to go to bed.
I got Temptation Island to watch. We can, you know what? We gave the people cuck talk today. I don't know what else we're supposed to. We should have ended the show then, you know? Like, we really should have ended the show then. We didn't, but we went. We gave the people a little bit more. Feels like we can let everybody enjoy their Friday.
That's right. I'm gonna go call Buy Spry. I'm gonna go yell at them.
Yeah, you're gonna get phone cucked.
I hate you so much.
Cuck cellular.
go watch your favorite wrestling this weekend, or don't, just enjoy the weather. I know in Toronto it's supposed to be beautiful. We're back here on Monday, as we are every week, 5 days a week here on In the Weeds. 10 a.m. Eastern starts. Jeremy, anything to plug?
Never.
Perfect. No mana this week because we have no mana to drink.
Yeah, somebody give me some mana. Maybe get that'll Jeremy. You notice like I started feeling terrible when I ran out of mana. So it feels like it's one and the same here, you know. I think the mana withdrawal, the withdrawal caught me and just threw my entire body off.
What is this? Oh no, we got one more from Ken Bruno.
Oh okay,
this is gonna be something. Hold on, I gotta open it and I gotta put it into the thing. Just give me a second here. Got a vamp too. Hey Twitter, see, it does that. Okay. Will there be a post show for my situation? I might do one to talk about what happened with Buy Spry.
We should just do a show on that. Yeah,
when it gets resolved and I take my victory lap, then we'll deal with it.
We'll see
Presented by MILF Manor.
Nice.
That's a really nice chair, I gotta admit.
Joel, you look really happy there.
That's my profile photo.
Joel needs a cell phone though. That's what's missing. We need like a phone on the table or in the chair. We need a cell phone in the chair.
Giant cell phone pillow.
Yeah. That's sure all that's missing. Phone. Otherwise, great job, Ken Bruno.
Love you guys. Oh my gosh. Let's get out of here. For Jeremy Lambert, you know who I am. Ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you on Monday. Enjoy your weekend. Cheers.
Get cucked.